Good morning. The theme today is about grace. It's interesting as the years go by and the longer I'm able to walk with the Lord, I realize I'm really unworthy. It's all about Him. If He gave me what I deserved, I wouldn't even want to imagine where I'd be. And thinking about that, is I'd ask a question any of you could answer. What does the grace of God mean to you? Anybody?
Forgiveness?
It doesn't have to be perfect. That's a good one. Thank God for that. Anybody else?
What we're saved by.
That's a wonderful thing, too. Anybody else? What's that?
It's love.
Yep. Well, today, I'll look at some passages. Luke chapter 23. We'll look at some words of grace today. Luke chapter 23. We'll start with verse 20 and read through 43. Actually, let's start with verse 21. But they shouted, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Then he said to them, Pilate, the third time, "Why, what evil has he done? I have found no reason for the death in this man. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." But they were very insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. And he released to them the one they had requested, who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison. But he delivered Jesus to their will. Now as they led him away and laid hold of a certain man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, womb that never bore, and breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in the great wood, what will be done in the dry? There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And they divided his garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, 'He saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ, the chosen of God.' The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, 'If you're the King of the Jews, save yourself.' And an inscription was written over him in the letters of the Greek and Latin, Hebrew. Then one of the criminals which were hanged blasphemed him, saying, 'If you are the Christ, save yourself and us.' But the other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Do not even you fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said to Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" You pray with me? Lord Jesus, we read your word and get a small glimpse of what it was like for you to pay the price for our sins. Speak to our hearts today and open our minds and our eyes to see what you have for us. Guide and lead us and Bless us and thank you for the many wonderful grace and mercy that you've shown upon us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In reading this, maybe we can see that was love for the mankind that Jesus allowed these people full of hatred to crucify him. You know, Jesus had the power. He could have called thousands of angels to rescue him. He could have come down from the cross and just spoke the word, and everybody that had anything to do with him being condemned to die could have died instantly. But you know what he had in mind? That nearly 2,000 years ago, there'd be a Rick Waddle. There'd be a Deb Scroter. There'd be a Larry Disney that needed salvation. And he allowed men to beat him, nail him to a cross, and die that we could be saved. These people didn't want a savior. They wanted a rebellious man, a murderer. He wanted him freed. But Jesus only walked upon the face of the earth to do good for people, heal the sick, make the lame to walk, fix people's lives, touch hurting people's lives. And yet for all the good that he did, he ended up on the cross, rejected by man. We see in verse 32 that he was crucified between two criminals. As if Jesus was being punished for some serious crime he committed. It's interesting to see that not only was it just enough to crucify him, but he had to have two criminals, one on each side. And to see that, well, he's just like one of these guys. Little did they know the Jesus that we know today. The two men hanging on the cross beside him had broken the law. They were being punished for their crime. But you know, just as you and I, we deserve to pay for our sins that we've committed against the Holy God. The God of the universe, of whom we all must one day face. Come to verse 34, where we hear Jesus praying to the Father, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Maybe you could think of today, maybe a friend did you something wrong. How easy was it to forgive them? Were you able to forgive them? Oh, yeah, that's easy. But what about somebody you don't like? Does something wrong to you? Honestly, are we able to forgive them? It's not so easy, is it? What about forgiving them even if they haven't come to you and said, you know, I've done something wrong to you, I need your forgiveness. Would we be able to forgive them? But these words from Jesus from the cross was, "Father, forgive them." They did a lot to him. They beat him. He was bloodied. They put a crown of thorns on his head, blindfolded him, hit him on top of the head on those crown, on those thorns. Said, "Who hit you?" They mocked him, made fun of him. You know, when I think about the crown of thorns that Jesus wore for me and you, When we first moved to the farm in my early teenage years, the farm my great-grandfather had not lived on for several years, and the pasture had grown up with wild locust trees. I don't know if too many of you are familiar with those, but they have thorns on them this long. Sometimes three or four thorns coming off of them. Well, my dad realized that in order for that pasture to be good to have cattle in and our horses, we need to get rid of those trees. Poke their eyes out, probably tear their flesh open. So in the fall, we'd go around and with the chainsaw and cut them off as close to the ground as we could and put a tree killer on those so it'd kill the roots. And I remember just getting pricked just a little bit by one of those thorns, either in my hand or my arm or my back. And if that little thorn would break off in your skin, it wouldn't last very long, it'd fester. And oh, did it hurt. I can't imagine Jesus having a crown of thorns and then have somebody drive that into your head. And when I would think about those times when we cut those trees down to get them, and I'd think about the time when Jesus wore a crown of thorns. It reminded me of that. But it didn't stop there. Jesus was even crucified, hands nailed and his feet nailed to the cross. And yet he could look out to the crowd while they were laughing and making fun of him and ask his Father to forgive him. That's amazing. It's really amazing. Because he knew that he had to die and shed his blood that we might have forgiveness of sin even in the year 2017. You see, Jesus was living out what he taught in Matthew 5:43-44. Not only are we told to forgive, we are told to love our enemies, pray for them, and to do good for them. We're not to repay evil for evil. We are to forgive, even if that person never asked for forgiveness. You know, to bring it a little closer to home to today, it's once in a while you'll see somebody on the news that a terrible tragedy has happened to them. And when they're interviewed, they'll say, "I hold no grudges. I forgive that person." I'll forgive that person that caused the tragedy. You ever notice their face? Their face shows such a peace. There's something different about somebody like that than somebody who wants vengeance or revenge. But then the news also shows people that something happens to them and they are angry. You can see it in their face. You can see it in their eyes. They want justice. But Jesus, after all that was done to him, asked the Father to forgive. If we could get a hold of this, it would help us to understand why we can be forgiven for all our sins we've committed with a repentant heart. What love the Father has for us, that his Son, Jesus, bore the punishment for sin. So when we repent, we can be forgiven. The angry mob that had Jesus crucified did not realize that Jesus' death on the cross was all part of a plan so sinful people like us could be redeemed from our sinful state. A way back to God was provided by the way of the cross. Well, we'll read on, we'll look a little more farther on in this chapter, and we'll see some more words of Jesus. We see in verse 39 that one of the criminals blasphemed Jesus. He also mocked him. He even asked Christ, he said, well, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us too. He was kind of hoping that Jesus would get down off the cross and maybe he would help him off the cross and he wouldn't have to suffer. But the other one realized that he was receiving punishment for what he did. He even made the statement, but Jesus had done nothing wrong. So the other one realized, and he was receiving a punishment for what we have done, but Jesus had done nothing wrong. This criminal must have knew enough about Jesus to know that Jesus was a son of God, and he was a good man. And he hadn't done nothing to deserve the death that he was dying. And he probably heard, since Jesus was right next to him, he probably heard a prayer that Jesus said to the Father, Father, forgive them. He could see that this criminal could see that Jesus was the Son of God, something the chief priest couldn't even recognize, the one that had him crucified. This criminal realized that something was different about this Jesus. He isn't cursing his accusers. He's not complaining about being put to death unjustly. Jesus must be from somewhere else. He must be suffering for a purpose. He realized that Jesus must have a kingdom somewhere else. If you observe his faith in this prayer, in his confession of sin, verse 41, we are justly receiving the rewards of our deeds. He discovers repentance toward God. In his penitent, he discovers faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. He owns him to be Lord and to have a kingdom. To believe and confess all this was a great thing at this time of the day, hanging on the cross. He asked Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Come to the second words of Jesus on the cross. He said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. This criminal must have realized that there was life after death and desired to be happy in that life, not as a criminal, but a forgiven soul of his crime. He wanted to be well provided for when his death on the cross was over. All he begs for is, Lord, remember me. I've had enough of myself. I desire nothing else. Into my hand I commit my case. To be remembered by Jesus now that he was in his kingdom, isn't that what we should earnestly desire and pray for? We're reminded often that this is not our home. One day we will be called away to a wonderful place that Jesus is already preparing for us. Preparing for those that have repented and believed that we can be part of the heavenly kingdom. This criminal, because of the work of the Spirit, was assured of eternal life. The other criminal had not repented and was not told the same thing. Even though the other criminal was making fun of Jesus and saying things to him, we don't read that Jesus even spoke to him at all. He didn't respond to it. So we can see, too, that not all will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Only those that repent and desire to make a change in direction in the way we think and act will be a part of this kingdom. You know, this is quite remarkable, this story. We live in what's called probably an educated society. We don't see this kind of thing happen in our daily life here in America. We don't see people crucified and tortured. Some may end up in jail, but as far as really being tortured, it's kind of hard to imagine a bloody mess. But we need to think about that. What was the price that was paid for us? We come every Lord's Day to remember him and his death, to remember the price that was paid for our sins. It should speak to our hearts. Make us desire to become closer to him. That Jesus, even when he was in the most agony and pain, still loved mankind and asked his Father to forgive them, for they know not what they do. And while he was hanging on the cross, the criminal next to him was suffering too, could see that he needed Jesus. As we come to decision time, maybe we need to take a look at where we are today. Maybe we really haven't repented like we should. Maybe we really haven't surrendered our life totally to God. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we can be totally forgiven. And we can have assurance that we will be with him in his kingdom. Thank God there's more to what God has planned than what we have on this earth today. Maybe you're here and you need to forgive somebody. Somebody that has wronged you. By forgiving them is the only way we can have peace. Or maybe you're looking for a home church to be a part of and serve. As the worship team comes forward, however the Holy Spirit is tugging at you and you need prayer, he invites you to come forward.